sugar, spice, and everything nice. These were the ingredients chosen to create
The Grace Curley Show. Radio, TV, print, Grace Curley does it all.
She sings, she dances, she acts.
I'm waiting by the door for my Pulitzer.
She sounds hideous.
She's just the worst.
Yeah, she's a wacko.
She is the devil. I'm in hell.
Now, here's the millennial with the mic.
She still leaves me both breathless and speechless.
I love her. I love her.
She is the best.
Somebody will ask you to say Grace.
Grace Curley.
Welcome back, everyone. Keir Starmer announced his resignation as prime minister. This was kind of a long time coming. I went to the BBC today, which I very rarely do, but I figured if they're ever going to get a click for me, it's on a day like today. This is a day they've earned it. And we can take a little bit of, I don't know how much people really care. And also, I'm not going to pretend to understand how their system works there. That one really confuses me. How they're going to elect a new person and why he resigned. I understand that he resigned because he had a myriad of different issues, mushrooming scandals, as they say. He had an Epstein connection and everything else. He hired someone who had an Epstein connection. But I don't really understand how they figure it out from here. That's their problem. We don't have to worry about that. But let's play a little bit of Keir Starmer because this might be one of the last times, hopefully, fingers crossed, we ever have to hear from this guy again. This is Cut 10.
Every decision I've taken has been about putting the country I love first. That is why I will resign as leader of the Labour Party. I have spoken to His Majesty the King this morning to inform him of my decision. I will ask the National Executive Committee of the Labour Party to set out a timetable with nominations opening on the 9th of July and completed by the summer recess.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, the BBC said his premiership was further destabilized earlier this year after the release of documents by the U.S. Department of Justice reignited a scandal over his decision to make Peter Mandelson his U.S. ambassador. So he knew that Mandelson had an Epstein, strong Epstein connection, and he chose him anyway. So, Starmer, we hardly knew you. Doesn't it feel like that's always happening over there across the pond? Like, I feel like they're always doing these pressers where someone's at a podium. I have to tell you that today I officially resign. Okay. Don't care. Don't care. I'm starting to sound like you, but okay. It doesn't. You know why? Because you're useless to us anyway. And I just have to think of these relationships as, what are you doing for me? Because we do plenty for everybody else. So what are you doing for me? None of these guys or gals really impress me. There's a few of them that stand out. But Keir Starmer, certainly not one of them. Now, I mentioned Ro Khanna, and people have some ideas here. They're like, he's making a run at president. That's always a safe guess. It's a really weird strategy if you're worth $200 million, and a lot of it is Nancy Pelosi style. Like, a lot of it's just amazing stock tips that you must, or amazing stock instincts that you have to be trading all this stuff. And then you're going to go after Elon Musk, a guy who has actually produced things, who saved the astronauts who were abandoned in space by Joe Biden, who created Starlink, who created Tesla. And they all want to go after him because they think they're entitled to his money. They think they're entitled to what he has earned by creating businesses and hiring people and creating a product. And that's bizarre to me. It's bizarre that as someone who's very wealthy, like Ro Khanna, you would pick a fight with Elon Musk because you think he's not paying enough in taxes. And when you find out how much these billionaires are paying in taxes, you understand why they're not excited to pay more. Because they're already paying a pretty handsome amount and they're not seeing anything for it. Like, all of these ideas that the Zohran Mamdanis and the Ro Khannas have about, oh, you know, we just need a little bit more. They don't ever come to fruition. It doesn't matter. You could give these people unlimited funds. And in fact, for the most part, we've tried it. We've dumped money into all of this stuff. And they're just not good at getting anything done. And so that's one thing going on with Ro Khanna, right? He's worth $200 million. But then I found out another interesting story is brewing in Congress. We've talked a lot about Ilhan Omar and her mysterious finances.
Just before we move on, Elon, in the last hour,
tweeted that it's time to sue this liar, referring to Ro Khanna.
Oh, good.
After Ro Khanna claimed that Elon sentenced 4.5 million children to death because of Doge cuts.
How would that make sense?
Well, that's why Elon would be suing.
Yes. Okay, good. I think he has a case. Well, let's just play this then if we're going to talk about it, because this is another thing Ro Khanna said about Elon Musk. I guess that is kind of, you stick your finger in the wind. You go, okay, who's attacking Elon Musk? If you're attacking Elon Musk, that does seem to be one of the stepping stones to running for president, right? This is one of the easier, like everyone's doing it.
Go after the trillionaire.
Go after the trillionaire. We should make a little guide, like certain ways you know someone's running for president. Go after the trillionaire. Start using the word fascism a lot. There's a few things. They're dead giveaways, I like to say. Dead giveaway. Dead giveaway. And going after Elon Musk is certainly one of them. So this is what he said about student loan debt. So not only is he going to fix childcare problems with Elon Musk's money, it's amazing. What Ro Khanna is going to do with Elon Musk's money is something
Elon
to behold.
Elon Stalin.
He's like, I'm from the government and I'm here to take Elon Musk's money and then I'm here to help you. This is another issue he thinks can be resolved courtesy of Elon Musk paying more in taxes. This is cut five.
I took out a lot of student loans. I've done well. They shouldn't forgive student loans for people like me. But if you're working class, you're first in your family to go to college, you have all this debt, and then you're paying off your debt until you're 50 or 60 and can't get a house, we can pay off that debt. And you know how we pay for it? Tax Elon Musk. Tax the billionaire. We're not taxing the blue collar guys.
Does he not know? No, of course he does know that they are taxing Elon Musk. Like, where is this? This is the biggest lie that is being thrown out by these wealthy Democrat elites, is that the billionaires are running around not paying taxes. The billionaires are paying most of the taxes. Now, that's what's going on with Ro Khanna. Millions of dollars. Ilhan Omar, we at one point thought she was making millions. We thought she was worth, I think, $30 million. And it turns out that it was like a financial whoopsie-daisy. It was an auditing mistake. It was an administrative error. Somebody hit the calculator wrong. They hit the wrong button. They added the times. They meant to do the subtraction, something like that. And we were also curious because she's married to this guy, Taylor, and he was involved in a winery. And the details surrounding that winery were kind of mysterious. An enigma. And now we get this update. This is from Fox, cut seven.
One controversy after another for Minnesota Congresswoman Ilhan Omar after all of these issues surrounding her reported wealth. And this has all been chronicled in the New York Post. Omar's husband, Tim Minette, once listed his net worth to be up to $30 million in 2024. And that caused a push for an investigation into the business holdings of the couple, but that ended up being a clerical mistake, according to the Congresswoman. Instead, a new filing has listed her assets between $20,000 and $125,000. Big difference. Minette's net worth is the most staggering part of this, though, with a reported income between $200 and $1,000. And despite that low income, Minette's company, Roselay Capital, reported income between $100,000 to $1 million. His defunct wine-based company reported around $5,000 in income of last year. The latest filing will no doubt add further scrutiny to Omar, with Republicans continuing to push for an investigation into her private holdings. An RNC spokesman told the New York Post this, voters see right through the corrupt lies of Ilhan Omar. Omar has spent her entire career covering up Democrat-enabled fraud that cost taxpayers billions, so it's no surprise that she would do the same for her husband.
What kind of accountant is messing it up to that point where you think someone's making $30 million, is worth $30 million, and he's making... Am I supposed to believe he's making $200 a year?
I don't know, $200 to $1,000 a year. Don't shortchange them.
This is a big discrepancy. This is the kind of discrepancy that I think warrants a red flag. I think that the Republicans are right to kind of drill down on this. There seems like there's some piece of this that we're missing. There's some piece of this financial puzzle that we're missing. Now, at the same time, while all this is going on, I also wanted to mention that Kamala Harris is back on the scene. You may have thought that she was taking a break, but you'd be wrong. She did a podcast, and it was with Don Lemon. And a few cuts of this podcast are going viral. Can I have cut 9, please, Taylor?
I really, truly believe this. We each have light inside of us. And we need to know that that is what inspires our hope as much as anything external to ourselves. And when we feel that and not allow an election or an individual to dampen that light, and instead let that light kind of carry us, in particular through moments of darkness, that we not only act on that hope, but we inspire that hope in each other. And in particular at this moment, it is so important that we not only have hope, but that we understand that that should be a verb.
I got one thing to say to you guys in response to that.
What?
She's still got it. The lady doesn't
was
know.
Was she the sole investor in Ilhan Omar's wine
Watch
company?
Watch what alcohol does.
She just cranks out bangers every single time she opens her mouth. What do you think? I just fell out of a coconut tree? Every time I think, oh, she's going to lose her sparkle. You know, all this talk about how she whoops up word salad. She's going to start just giving short answers, short sentences. She's not going to want to go down these windy roads, Taylor, these verbose roads that lead to nowhere. And every time I see a clip of her, I'm like, I'm so glad they haven't dulled her shine. I'm so glad that when she gets a question, she's like, I'm going to take this.
I eat no for breakfast.
I'm going to take this to the craters on the moon, and I'm going to do a couple laps there, and then I'm going to come back. What in the world is she trying to say? What song came to mind when you were listening to that answer, Taylor?
What song? Give me a couple of keywords that...
Light. She kept saying the light. The light shines. I was just thinking, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Yeah, I don't know if she's running, but I hope, you know what? I don't want her to go away. That's the other thing. I don't think I want her to run for anything, but I would like her to stay in the mix because we need cuts like this. Cuts like this, Taylor, they give me hope. And she thinks hope should be a verb. She thinks hope should be a verb. Nobody tell her. Nobody tell her. We'll be right back.
Watch the show live. Rumble.com/TheGraceCurlyShow. This is The Grace Curley Show.
This light pours into your brain, restoring, healing, revitalizing.
Yeah, she can really, Kamala can really go. And someone should have told her a long time ago, hey, if you catch yourself talking for more than 15 seconds, just try to land the plane. Try to wrap it up. Try to have a start and an end. A start and a finish. But I love the fact that no matter how many advisors they bring in, strategists, political consultants, millions of dollars, billions of dollars that she blows through, she's still just a girl who's going to gab. And you know what, Taylor? Game respects game. I can respect that. When you're just trying to kill time, she vamps. That's what she does on these podcasts. There's nothing for her to really sink her teeth into. There's no ideas that she really believes or platforms that she's, you know, really passionate about. So all she can do is vamp. And as a fellow vamp artist, I get it. I get it, girl. Today's poll question is brought to you by Kennedy Carpet. Now is the time to clean or update your home. Don't underestimate what cleaning a rug can do. You might feel like, oh, there's no salvaging this. You'd be shocked at what Kennedy Carpets can do to one of your rugs. They can really clean them up. And you can visit their beautiful showrooms in Needham and Weymouth or call 1-888-KENNEDY. Taylor, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is do you drink soda? Never, rarely, every now and then, or regularly?
Yeah, they're shutting down. Sadly, this is a sad story. They're shutting down the Coca-Cola plant in Northampton, Mass. And this was going to be, this was announced a long time ago, but they had a very slow burn here, a slow decline.
I wonder if
a slow shutdown.
You know, so I guess, was it part of the Doge cuts where EBT, SNAP benefits, they said that they weren't going to supplement sodas and stuff like that?
Which
in some
so
states.
Much of SNAP is used for sodas. Yeah. Like an insane amount of SNAP is used for sodas. Sugary drinks. Yeah. I don't know. But the Northampton facility wasn't bottling Coke. They were doing like other beverages. Obviously, Coca-Cola Company has a million other beverages.
Right.
So that's what they were doing. But it did get me thinking. It got me thinking, number one, wow, another failure in Massachusetts where we're losing businesses. And none of these businesses are actually going to tell you, hey, it's just not a business-friendly place to be, and there's plenty of other states that are a lot more friendly to what we're trying to do. But I think we can all read the writing on the wall. But the other thing it got me thinking of is how many people don't drink soda anymore. And really, I'm talking about more younger people. Because when I was younger and we'd go to the movies or something, I was getting a Coke. I knew I loved Coke at a very early age.
Yeah, but that's a splurge, right? I mean, you're going to the movies, you're treating yourself, you're getting the popcorn, you're getting the Reese's Pieces, you're getting the Coke. But at home, I remember a lot of families, like when I went over to my friend's house for, you know, just to play or whatever, they would have soda in the fridge.
So at my house, my dad had liked Diet Coke and still does. But my mom would buy my dad Diet Coke for him. But I learned at an early age, if I want in on the soda game, the only game in town in this house is going to be Diet Coke. So I, at a very young age, was like, I will train myself to enjoy this. Mm. And that's when I fell in love with Diet Coke, out of necessity. Necessity is the mother of invention. And that's what happened to me. But I was thinking back, because I'm like, you go to these kids' parties now, and everybody's got juice boxes, everybody's got waters. I'm like, none of these kids are drinking soda. And if you're not hooking them when they're young onto the soda, you're probably not going to gain them later on in life, because they're just going to see no point of it. So I say, but for me personally, you still got me, Coke. You still got me on your side. I drink soda regularly.
19% say they drink it regularly. 22% say occasionally. 34% say rarely. And 25% say never.
Yeah, you do have that friend, though, when you were younger who had it stocked up. I had a friend whose, it was like you were at Tedeschi's or something. It was lines. If you took one out, another one was going to come through. It was amazing. It was like Disney World. Marie, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Marie.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Hope is a verb.
Marie, I asked
hope
you not to tell
is
her.
A verb. Oh, bye.
Marie, I specifically said don't do that. We had Kamala Harris. She wants hope to be a verb. And I said in the last segment, no one tell her.
Who's going to tell Marie that we knew that hope was a verb?
It's not going to be me. I'm not in this to bring people down. I'm in this business to raise spirits, okay? And so if you want to call up Kamala or Don Lemon and tell her the hope's a verb, that's on you. But it's not going to be on me, because I want her to keep talking. I'm really loving it. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Graham Plattner, because I have a feeling, and I think we have to get through, Taylor, there's a certain date. I think it's July 5th. And once we get through a certain date in July, it's cemented. He is the guy. Totin cough tattoo, porta potty. It's two thumbs up. But what's going to happen after that date? How many shoes are going to drop? That's what we'll talk about when we come back.
I mean, listen, guys.
Grace Curley Show is on the air.
More updates on the conflict in the Middle East and this MOU that is creating a lot of division, especially within the conservative movement. And I said this today on WGAN with Matt Gagnon. I said, for so long I've heard, Taylor, that the GOP, the MAGA base, that we're all Kool-Aid drinking zombies. And whatever Trump tells us, we do. And whatever he tells us is good, we cheer on. Whatever he tells us is bad, we hate. And it's been fascinating over the past week, I would say, to see the amount of criticism and pushback from members of the MAGA base to other members of the MAGA base. And even the Rapid Response Twitter account at one point on, I think it was on Friday, was slamming Batya Ungar Sargon for her saying that she thinks this deal is a humiliation and that it's humiliating and that it's a capitulation to Iran. And the Rapid Response account, which I don't advise them doing this, like attacking other conservatives on the account, was going after her. So you've seen this infighting. You've seen these disagreements. And I always thought that that wasn't something we'd ever have to deal with because we are all part of a cult. And being part of a cult, since we're all hypnotized to love whatever Trump tells us, we don't have to deal with this kind of fighting. That's the perk of drinking the Kool-Aid. But it turns out there's a lot of people in the Republican Party that have different ideas and they have different ways or they have different strategies as to what the best solution would be in Iran. And I actually find it, although it is frustrating and it can be a little bit concerning when you see people getting really, really angry at each other and threatening to kind of create this division in the base, I think overall it's a good thing. I think fighting and disagreeing, Taylor's a perfect example of this. Yeah, he could come on here every day and yes me to death and be like, great idea, Grace. He doesn't do that. In fact, he oftentimes pushes back. I would say you push back 99%. If he doesn't push back on me, that's when I get concerned. I go, are you feeling okay? Is everything okay? And he's like, I'm just tired. I'm like, oh, okay. That makes sense. But most of the time, and you know what? To your credit, it makes for a better show.
Yeah. So I agree that the infighting is a good thing to a point.
To an extent.
What is detrimental is just kind of putting a blanket statement on somebody by saying, you're just Trump no matter what, or you're just anti-Trump no matter what, instead of trying to appeal to common ground and finding a way to have an actual conversation about something instead of just screaming at each other.
Yeah, and part of what I was worried about over the weekend is there's been this shift now with some conservatives who think that J.D. Vance is kind of bowing to Iran or he's capitulating to Iran. And I understand why when you hear him at the podium criticizing Israel and not being as forthcoming with criticism towards Iran, it can be a point of concern. But I also, like you said, I'm not ready to write J.D. Vance off. I think that he's one of the stronger people in our party and he has a lot of potential and he has the ability, as you were on vacation, Taylor, but he was on The View, he has the ability to talk to people on the opposing side of the aisle, and we need that. It would be really great, and we'd love to convince ourselves we don't, that we're enough, that we can just sit in our corner and they can sit in their corner and we can cross our arms and let it play out. But we need people who are willing to talk to unfriendly faces and people who are not on our side and try to persuade them. And so I'm not ready to throw in the towel on any members of this administration just because it's not the strategy I would have chosen. And that's something I appreciate about Kurt Schlichter. If you missed him, he was in the first hour. He said there are no optimal courses of action. There are only various levels of suboptimal courses of action. Once we, like adults, accept that, we can move forward. That's a hard reality to face, which is, and here's the difference, is like you have an issue, for example, with the border. That's a common sense. That's an easy fix. Here's what you don't do. You don't tell people to surge the border. You don't incentivize people coming over here illegally. You don't let people who are here illegally do whatever they want and then refuse to let ICE detain them. You don't stand outside detention centers and try to create chaos. Those are things you don't do. And as conservatives, because it's that much of a yes-no, Taylor, it's that much of an easy solution. Protect the border, have some common sense rules when you come in, have some vetting procedures in place, tell people that it's shut down, tell people that whatever they've envisioned or whatever they're used to over the last 4 years of Biden is stopping, and you will see exactly what we saw, which is a tremendous drop in border crossings. The issue here that Kurt Schlichter talks about is this is complicated. If there were an easy solution to this, we would have had it by now. And so there has to be a little bit of humility and a little bit of a willingness to hear other people out in our own party before we start excommunicating people because we're not happy with their idea. Now, I will mention here, that the U.S. is waiving Iran oil sanctions for 2 months and $10 billion payday. This is from the New York Post. We formally today waived oil sanctions on Iran for a period of 2 months as nuclear talks continued with Iranian officials in Switzerland. We're going to obviously see a lot of the consequences for this when it comes to looking at gas prices and how this changes the market and the economy. So we will keep an eye on that. But I wanted to talk a little bit here because we haven't checked in on our friend Grant Plattner in a while. Spends most of his time tweeting at AIPAC. And I don't want to know what else he does with his time. I really don't. I've read about some of his proclivities in the past, and I would prefer not to know. Now, his campaign manager, like, what's this guy's title? Morris Katz? I think he's some sort of, he's part of the Plattner team. And he's one of the leaders on the team. He was the one who was threatening that other lady on the team that if she tried to tell the truth about Grant Plattner, it was not going to be good for her. And now he's on MS Now. And I want you to take a listen to this interaction on MS Now, because the rumor that I've been hearing, the speculation, the rumblings, is that once Grant Plattner is solidified as the choice, and you might be saying to yourself, well, he won. Like, he's the guy. There's still some lever in Maine. All these states have different rules and regulations. There's still some lever they can pull in Maine. I think it's on, it has to be before July 5th, where they could swap him out if they want. After a certain point in July, they can no longer do that. So the rumor is that Republicans are waiting for them to have no other option, and that's when you're going to get a second wave of these accusations and of these allegations against Grant Plattner. Now, take a listen to this back and forth. This is Morris Katz on MS Now. This is cut three.
Has it been negated by all of the allegations against Plattner, which there may be more coming? Can you say that there are not going to be more women coming forward with similar unflattering allegations against Grant Plattner?
What I can say is that Grant Plattner has addressed his past repeatedly, more than I've ever seen any candidate have to talk about their past. And he's been honest.
Well, that might be because he has a lot of problems.
Yeah, those two things. There is a connection there. The reason he has to come out all the time and talk about his past, and they keep saying past, Taylor, it wasn't that long ago. It's a very recent past. They're acting as though he wasn't on Kick or he didn't have an active account on Kick a few weeks ago. They're acting like this was decades prior that all of these things were happening. And he's such a changed guy. And it's like, well, it was pretty recent. So people are concerned. I don't think that they understand how many people are tuning into this and are paying attention to these scandals. And they're not going to be wowed by his deep voice and his oyster man personality. And the other issue that I think is important to point out, and this again goes back to Kurt Schlichter's piece here, which I really did enjoy if you couldn't tell, but he talks about the midterms and how, as much as, you know, this might not be the strategy in Iran that we wanted, there is an argument to be made that the majority of people support this MOU and that they want this to be over, at least for the time being. And that perhaps, he said, Trump is going to try to drag this out past the midterms. There's precisely zero chance that's going to be resolved, but understand that their nuclear program has been blown to smithereens. He also talks about the midterms and that maybe, and I thought this too, with this huge reversal in action from Trump, I thought maybe their midterms aren't as much of a sure thing for Democrats as they've been making it out to be. Like, that was always the narrative, right? That
it always is.
A blue wave, a blue tsunami, we're done, we're toast. But it always is, Taylor, but this one felt different because this one, first of all, history, if history is any guide, it usually is that way for the party that's in the White House and the party in charge. There usually is a pretty big flip. You know, it depends on, with Obama, it was a huge flip. With some people, it's not as big of a flip. But with this, there was this kind of, I felt from Republicans, this resignation of like, yeah, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. And a few days ago, Harry Enten, who you know is my favorite from CNN, he brought up a poll that was warning that a lot of these high quality polls show Democrats leading the generic congressional ballot. And I'm reading here from Newsweek by only about 3 points, which is a lot less than what we've seen in previous years, in previous midterms. And so maybe this move from Trump, and I said this last week, and I prefaced it to Taylor by saying, if I sound stupid, people can write in and say you're stupid. And people did. But I said, maybe Trump's doing this not just to reduce the price of gas before the midterms, but maybe because he really does think we have a shot at the midterms if the price of gas goes down. Because that was kind of the thing in my head, Taylor. I'm like, yeah, you're going to do all this stuff and you're not going to destroy the IRGC. You're not going to destroy the Mueller's, and you're going to get the price of gas down. And people are still not going to, they're still going to vote against you. But I don't know. Maybe if it's closer than we think it is, that this could be the thing that helps us keep the House in the midterms. The Senate is looking worse and worse for Democrats, thanks to Plattner, thanks to porta potty Plattner and other Democrat choices that they made. But maybe the House is also something, there's something there.
I don't think there are too many minds that are going to be changed either way. I think everybody's fairly grounded in where they are politically, like which party they want to see lead this country.
But do you think that the conflict in Iran, because you're right, because then it becomes an issue of enthusiasm. And the truth is that when it comes to enthusiasm, anger is a great way to get people excited. Like anger is a great motivator for a lot of people out there, especially with voters. Do you think that Trump supporters who might see it as a conflict where they can understand Trump's POV and they might think it like I do, that it was a righteous thing to do and, you know, it was the right move to make. But now as time drags on and it's been a very muddled mixed message, are they now depressed to the point where they won't come out for their candidate because he's not on the ballot? And they're kind of like, I thought this first 2 years was going to be gangbusters and I'm just not as, and I'm not even saying that's how I feel. I think there's been a lot of accomplishments in this first or second administration, but in these first 2 years, I think there's been a ton of things that are not getting nearly enough attention, including the border. But I could see how someone else whose number one issue was the economy, and it's a lot of people's number one issue, is like, this is just not what I thought it was going to be.
Well, by all measures, the economy isn't doing terribly. I think it's doing great. The stock market's up. We've got a ton of, you know, new jobs that have been created over the past couple of years. I don't think the economy is doing poorly. It's just that our end of the economy, where the consumers, and on a daily basis, gas, groceries, that's been affected. But, I mean, those are prices that you're accounting for every week anyway. Yeah, we're paying a little bit more than we'd like to right now, and it's coming down. But I'm not gauging my weekly spending on, you know, I'm not holding that up and saying, well, I'm not even going to vote in this election because, you know, I'm paying $20 extra a week in gas.
But you're an engaged voter. Like, I understand what you're saying, where it's like, hey, people have already made up their minds. I always think that too, but if people had already made up their minds and there really was no chance of swaying people, then these campaigns wouldn't spend millions of dollars on ads and signs.
I have a tough time thinking like a short-minded person.
Yeah.
You know?
That's your cross to bear.
Yeah, it certainly is.
He's like, I'm just too smart. I can't help you on this one, Grace. I'm just too smart. Everybody's talking about weight loss injections because the results are so dramatic. They work by lowering blood sugar and reducing appetite. So what if you're looking to lose weight, but you're not interested in the painful weekly injections, especially when you hear about some of those intense side effects? Well, that's why doctors created a weight loss supplement called Lean, and the results are remarkable. The studied ingredients in Lean have been shown to lower your blood sugar, burn fat by converting it into energy, and curb your appetite and cravings so you're not as hungry. I've noticed this, Taylor. You used to be kind of a prowler when it came to the food in the office. You'd be like itching for, who brought that in? What's that?
Anybody bring a snack in today?
Yeah,
no,
what are you munching
nobody's
on?
Nobody's bringing any baked goods in?
He was big on like asking everybody, what are you eating over there? What are you eating over there? Not so much of that anymore.
No.
You mind your own business.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Side effect of Lean is that it helps you mind your own business and stop being so nosy. No, Lean is, it's just a couple of capsules you take after breakfast. And what it does, it just boosts those the efficiency of your own body and your metabolism so that you're actually burning stored energy. You're not relying on the intake of more calories, and the calories that you do take in, they're being burned more efficiently and put to better use. And one of the effects is that of that is that you're not, you know, bored hungry. You're not looking for stuff to eat and forage on because, well, you feel that you have to, or you just, you want to. It curbs all of that. And over a period of a couple of months, I've been able to lose 15 pounds taking lean, which, you know, opens up your whole wardrobe that you had in your closet. Well, those shirts, they maybe fit last year, but they're a little tight now. Now those I can wear again because I've lost that weight and I'm able to fit back into things that I just stuck in the back because I couldn't fit into them anymore. But it's great. Very easy to take, and it's, you know, doesn't have any of those side effects of the GLP-1s or anything like that. It's nothing crazy.
So let's get you started with 20% off and free rush shipping so you can add Lean to your healthy diet and exercise plan. Visit TakeLean.com and enter Grace for your discount. That's promo code Grace at TakeLean.com. We'll be right back.
More of the Grace Curley Show up next. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Taylor, you timed out your vacation perfectly because there was a lot of sports news while
Thank
you were gone.
God.
And
Ugh.
You didn't have to hear any of it.
Oh, what a blessing.
And Matt was kind of loving giving us the updates as our resident sporty man in the office, him and Jared.
I did get to watch the UFC fights at the White House. That was very cool.
You watched the playback of it?
No, I watched it live. Stayed up all night.
But you weren't at the White House. It sounds like you were saying you were at the White House.
Did I say I was there? I said I watched them at the White House. You know what, Grace? I can
I'm
go back on
too.
Vacation right now.
I'm smart, too. No, the reason I brought this up, though, is because the Knicks obviously won the NBA Finals while you were gone. And did you see the controversy over the weekend with the trash cans?
No.
They got these special colored trash cans.
Was this an Alex Cora trash can situation?
It was like orange and blue. They painted them orange and blue. And some lady dumped out all the trash. Sorry. She wanted to take the trash can home. So she dumped out all the trash onto the street so that she could take the trash can. And it's just like, you can't. You know, sometimes you see something, oh, that's nice. It's nice that they're doing that. Oh, that's fun. You know, the painted trash cans, they spray painted the trash cans. This is why we can't have nice things, is because someone's going to see that trash can and say, oh, I'm going to dump all of the crap out onto the street so I can take it home. What are you going to do with that trash can at your house?
Right. If your life has come to a point where you think taking a trash can home, no matter how decorative it is,
no matter how snazzy it is,
time to reevaluate a few things.
Yeah.
Listen to a Dave Ramsey podcast.
Leave the trash can on the street. Why do we even need to be saying this? This should be something everyone understands. You don't take the trash cans home. There are certain things you can take. Pens for, you see a pen. You want to take a pen. You want to take a napkin. You want to take a coaster. Maybe. But the trash cans.
Why were they painting the trash cans?
It was to jazz
it up.
What a
stupid thing.
I know.
Symbolically, not a great look.
And also,
the Knicks are trash. That's what that says to me.
But it's also like, you know how the people in New York are operating. You have to know that you're risking someone snagging those trash cans. Tom Shattuck is coming up next, filling in for Howie. Don't miss it. I'll see y'all tomorrow.
How long did you have breasts for, Dad?